Grace to you and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and welcome to this virtual service of worship here at Hebron Presbyterian Church. Wherever you are and whatever you're coming with from this week, it's our prayer that you will experience the living presence of Jesus Christ here today. You can find more about the life of Hebron Church by going to our website at www.hebronpresbyterian.com or by visiting our Facebook or Instagram pages. And now let us prepare our hearts for worship. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. Know this, the Lord is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless God's name. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come before you with thanks and praise. For you are the God who is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and righteousness, full of grace and truth. And you have shown your grace and truth to us most fully in Jesus Christ, our Lord, who came to be God with us and for us, to rescue us from the darkness and to give us life everlasting. And so, God, we pray as we are gathered around your word and by your Holy Spirit, that you would nourish us with Christ. Help us to worship you this day in spirit and in truth. Help us to know you, to love you, and in turn love our neighbors. All this we pray to the glory and honor of your name. Through that same Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Streams of mercy.
pray with me. Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So we pray as your word is read and proclaimed, that your Holy Spirit would bring it to light so that we may know what you have to say to us. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the third chapter, starting in the 9th verse. This is a scene where Jesus is meeting with the teacher Nicodemus. Nicodemus has heard about the many various mighty works that Jesus has been doing among the people and has now met him secretly to suss out what he's about. And so we're entering here mid-narrative into Jesus' response to Nicodemus. Listen now to God's word. Nicodemus said to Jesus, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. It is safe to say that this verse, John 3:16, is the most well-known portion of Scripture in North America. We see it on bumper stickers and billboards, scribbled on public restroom stalls, and written large on homemade signs at baseball games. And I suspect that even those who have little experience with Christianity find this verse, if not the words, then at least the citation, familiar. So ubiquitous is John 3:16. Yet our overfamiliarity with this verse may cause us to forget how truly groundbreaking its message is. For the first hearers of John's gospel, this simple verse began with what was to them a contradiction. For God so loves the world. The world. That's a little odd. This is the same world that Jesus later says hates him and will hate his disciples. The same world that the Holy Spirit came to convict of sin and righteousness and judgment. The same world that Paul later in Romans 12 says we should not be conformed to. The Bible is clear on what the world is. The world is alienated from and hostile to God. Yet it is this world that God so loves. Here we see the scriptures holding two things true at the same time. God loves the world, even while recognizing that it is broken, sinful, and not working as he created it to be. And it's the same for us who are created in his image. We are broken, sinful, weak, and God loves us. The consistent message of the Bible is that God will never give up on that which he made, whether the world or us made in his image. No matter how far we fall, no matter how broken the world may become, God will not give up on us. And indeed, he will not abandon anything that his hands have made. It's not that God will just put up with our troublemaking and say, well, that's just the way it is. But despite our brokenness, despite our troublemaking, he loves us. So now the question is, how do we know? How do we know that God loves the world? That these are not just empty words. Talk is cheap, as they say. Well, we know that God so loved the world because he sent his son to the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Now, Jesus here is obviously talking about himself, but as we, as scripture readers, hear him say only son, we should be reminded of the opening of John's gospel, that part about the word in the beginning that was with God and was God, that word that became flesh and dwelt among us. This son whom God sent into the world is none other than that eternal word. This son that he sent is both God and man. And he came to us, not as a specter or a ghost, but as one of us, enfleshed, to show us God's transforming love, to show that same love to a broken world. In a scene from the political drama, The West Wing, the president's chief of staff, Leo, is talking to a staffer, Josh. And Josh had just recently gone through a rather traumatic experience and was seeking help. And Leo tells him this story. This guy's walking down the street when he falls in a hole. The walls are so steep he can't get out. A doctor passes by and the guy shouts up, "Hey you, can you help me out?" The doctor writes a prescription, throws it in the hole, and moves on. Then a priest comes along, and the guy shouts up, "Father, I'm down in this hole. Can you help me get out?" The priest writes a prayer, throws it in the hole, and moves on. Then a friend walks by. "Hey, Joe, it's me. Can you help me out?" And the friend jumps into the hole with him. Our guy says, "Are you stupid? Now we're both down here." And the friend says, "Yeah, but I've been down here before, and I know the way out." My friends, in Jesus Christ, God has jumped into the hole with us. He meets the world in its brokenness and sin. He meets us in our brokenness and sin and says, "I know the way out." Christ in his humanity was just like us, but without sin. He has experienced our same temptations, our same sufferings. So he knows what it's like, and he can see us through. And what is good is that he walks with us every step of the way. He will never leave nor forsake us. Now, this doesn't mean that all of our troubles will suddenly disappear. We still live in a world that longs for the fullness of redemption. But it does mean that our weaknesses, our suffering, and our sin no longer define us. We are no longer bound by brokenness and sin, but live by faith in the freedom and life of God in Jesus Christ. This is what it means to have eternal life now. Everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. We are no longer bound to the powers of death, but have been raised up with Christ to live in the everlasting and abundant life of God. Now we can say with the Apostle Paul, it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. This is the promise for all who believe. And as those who have now received this eternal life in Christ, we are called to jump into the hole with our neighbors in need, to meet them in their brokenness and shame and say, I know the way out. His name is Jesus. We are to walk with them as Christ walks with us, and so together be transformed by the love of God. This is our calling as those who believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Christ has jumped down into the hole with us, and he will see us all the way through. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we turn now to pray for the church and the world, I'll invite you at the end of each petition, while there's a point of silence, to offer up your own prayers, wherever you are, for the needs of our neighbors. Let us turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. We praise and thank you, O Lord, that you have fed us with your word. Grateful for your gifts of grace and mercy, and mindful of the communion of saints, we offer to you our prayers for all people. God of compassion, we remember before you the poor and the afflicted, the sick and the dying, prisoners and all who are lonely, the victims of war, injustice, and inhumanity, and all others who suffer from whatever their sufferings may be called. O Lord of Providence, holding the destiny of the nations in your hand, we pray for our country. Inspire the hearts and minds of our leaders, that they, together with all our nation, may seek first your kingdom and righteousness, so that order, liberty, and peace may dwell with your people. O God, the Creator, we pray for all nations and peoples. Take away the mistrust and lack of understanding that divide your creatures. Increase in us the recognition that we are all made in your image. O Savior God, look upon your church in its struggle upon the earth. Have mercy on its weakness, bring an end to its unhappy divisions, and scatter its fears. Look also upon the ministry of this your church. Increase our courage, strengthen our faith, and inspire our witness to all people, even to the ends of the earth. Author of grace and God of love, send your Holy Spirit's blessing to us, your children. Keep our hearts and our thoughts in Jesus Christ, your Son, our only Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. From this place now to love and serve the Lord. Seek our neighbors in need. Jump into the hole with them and show them the way out, just as we have been shown the way in Jesus Christ. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. This day, always, forever. Amen.